from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, dear listener, we are delighted to share with you the fact we have a special guest, and he is a very special guest, someone that knows learning inside out. And I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to Steve at very many conferences over the years. So I've given a bit of his name away there, but I'm going to let our guest introduce himself and tell us about his new book that is soon to be launched.
Thank you, Martin. Yeah, I'm Steve Wheeler, and formerly an academic. I still am an academic, but I used to work at Plymouth University teaching teachers, training teachers. And I've jumped ship now and become an independent consultant. And my new book is entitled Digital Learning in Organizations.
Excellent. Steve, let me jump in and ask a question. What was the purpose of the book? Who's it aimed at? And what do you hope people who read it are left with? So is it just a description? Is it a how to do it? Is it a buyer beware kind of treatise? Why did you write it?
I think it's got all elements in it, really, Nigel. I mean, it's an interesting departure for me, because normally I write books about schools and universities and the learning that occurs in those. So I suppose, in a way, this is launching a little bit into uncharted territories for me, because although I've been working with L&D people for the last 10, 15 years and speaking regularly at conferences and consulting with organisations, it's not my standard way of writing. So I guess... it's slightly out of my comfort zone, but I suppose the premise of this book is to talk about things like change and innovation and how technology can play a part in that, how organizations can harness the power of technologies to help to promote those changes in their organizations, how they can help to, I suppose, make themselves a little bit more competitive, get that little edge that they want through their workforce, becoming more upskilled in those areas. So that's really the whole idea behind it.
And you've also given a brief history of learning technologies, haven't you? Going back, 50, 60 years.
Well, I lived through some of it. I'm not as old as
all of it, I think.
but I have seen 43 years now of learning technology. I came in 1976, right at the start, as a young lad, and learnt the technology, learnt the trade as it was evolving in front of me. So I've been very privileged to see quite an evolution, if you like, of technology throughout the years, from very much instructor-led and teacher-centred, right the way through now to the stuff we're seeing in organisations, which is much more user-led and kind of user-oriented.
Are you excited? Does the present and the immediate future get you going? Or do you look back with affection to 20 years ago when it was much more controlled, much easier to get your head around everything, when there were no apps and virtually no companies making and selling the stuff?
That's a really interesting question. I think I do look back with affection on some of the older technologies and some of the stuff that I saw emerging back in the 80s and 90s, for instance, especially things like the real excitement around the internet when it was first thought of and first started to proliferate, and things like mobile phones and then smartphones, of course, those really excite me still. But I'm also looking forward to the future. I've been labelled with the tag of futurist. I don't think I am. I think I'm more of somebody who is enthusiastic about the future and somebody who likes to see the new technologies and try them out as they emerge. So I'm very interested in things like artificial intelligence. I'm very interested in things like AR and VR, augmented and virtual reality, and wearable technologies as well. These are things that really float my boat at the moment, I think.
And do you think people will transform learning using these technologies, or do you think they will just replace existing models with new models that don't really change anything?
I think you've kind of nailed it when you said people will change. I don't think it's technology that will change anything. I think people will change things, always have done, always will do. And it is an interesting area of research for me, because I still do a lot of research in my role as an innovations consultant in the learning and development area. And the idea really is to kind of look at new theories and new explanations of how people are learning now. I do believe, and my last book kind of tried to nail this, I do believe that the old theories still are valid, old theories of learning are still valid, but I think we need additional theories to explain some of the nuances and new affordances and, of technology that are emerging and how we're starting to adapt to them and apply them in real world situations. So I think people will change and transform learning within organizations. It will be very slow at first. It's happening. And that my book identifies some of these areas because I've interviewed several of the leading edge people who around the world who are doing these things and actually showing evidence that they're transforming the workplace. But it's through a combination of people, their ingenuity and the technology, which helps to amplify their ideas and their skills, if you like.
Yeah, what, I suppose one dominant message from the book is that it's people who will change things, not technology. What other dominant messages come out of the book, do you think, or you hope come out of the book?
Well, I think change is always a frightening thing. I mean, that's a real given right from this, from chapter one. I talk about the idea of change and how it's never going to leave us. We're always going to have it. And in fact, if anything, change is accelerating. I think people like Ray Kurzweil talk about change being exponential now. And as such, another recurring theme is that organizations who do not keep up with that pace will either find themselves redundant, hopefully not, but they'll certainly be peripheralized, they'll certainly be marginalized in the race to actually grab the market and keep that edge in front of their competitors.
Do you think that's also true of the L&D teams, that if they don't embrace this, they too will be peripheralized? I love that word. I have never heard that one before. But will they be peripheralized and marginalized as a result of not moving forward, not embracing that future?
Well, you've heard the old expression, you know, any teacher who can be replaced by technology should be. my kind of adage, which I added to that, was that teachers who, or instructors, or L&D people, whoever in the learning field, learning professionals who do not adapt to technology, they'll be replaced by ones who do. I think that is the bottom line. Organizations will be looking for tech-savvy people in the future. They'll be looking for people who are digitally ready and who can educate a whole workforce into being the same way.
Yeah. And do you think your book prepares them for that future?
Well, I hope so. I've spent the last 9 months trying to make sure that it does. So I've got, as I said, I've got a lot of case studies in there of organizations who have already succeeded in doing this in partnership either with technology companies or with software companies or with companies who are involved in that kind of approach to transformation of an organization. So hopefully there are some ideas in there and some perspectives and some approaches in there, some methods maybe in there, which will help organizations, particularly L&D professionals, to identify what they may want to do next, where they may want to go next with their own transformation of their own organization.
So it's a bit of a treatise, and it's also a bit of a handbook. So it's something, I guess, you hope the person who buys it will keep it with them for 2 or 3 years hence, not just read it once and discard it. I've got the point, move on. But it's something they will go back to get enduring insights.
I hope so. The danger of writing a book like this about technology is that technology moves on so fast and the book may be out of date in a few years. And so I was acutely aware of that when I started writing it. And I thought, I'm going to have to be broad brushstrokes with some of this. I'm going to have to be very general with some of the terms that I use. So in fact, I don't talk about specific technologies so much as I talk about ideas and themes that will recur. So I talk about things like mobile learning. I talk about personal and personalized learning, because these things are, and social learning, because I think these are recurring themes that will be with us for at least the next 20 or 30 years. I don't think it's a flash in the pan, this. I think we're right at the edge of something new in the way we're doing things.
Yeah. Who's doing it best? Which examples would you cite as paradigm shifters, models for the future?
Well, one of the companies that I'll give a shout out to, because they're just up the road from here, 3-4 miles away from my own house in Plymouth, a company called Sponge, who I'm sure everyone knows about. They've had award upon award upon award over the past few years. They've grown exponentially themselves, but they've got it. They've actually got the idea that actually electronic page turning is not the way forward for things like online learning. What we need to do is gamify it. What we need to do is animate it. What we need to do is make it more interactive. So what they've done is they've turned around the idea that digital learning is boring, and they've made it very exciting. They've made it very accessible. They've made it very easy, if you like, for people to immerse themselves within compliance training or whatever else they're doing in their organization, and make it fun and make it stick as well. I think that's the bottom line.
Any big companies that you see are engaged and using this? After your plug for the Plymouth local economy, what about the global economy? Any big organizations?
Well, I mean, there are several I could mention here in this country. Royal Mail, for instance, have a really amazing case study about their postal workers who have been attacked by dogs mainly in the past, and you know, serious injuries and psychological trauma and all sorts of problems that you can imagine that postal workers, delivery workers, you know, per se would be exposed to, and they've got a new augmented reality app which has been developed for them, which sits on a mobile phone, just on our smartphone, and anybody who's a postal worker could open it up at any time if they're in doubt about anything, and they can make decisions, informed and valid decisions based upon what they see in front of them and how the information that's imposed upon the real world through the camera of the phone. And I think that's an incredibly immediate solution, but it's also very practical and it's very down to earth. But it's also very high tech, so it's got all of those elements within it. That's an amazing approach, really, and I think it's quite a low cost solution too.
Well, the cost of someone being off work for 3 months is colossal. Absolutely. Compared to, and if you scale that up over hundreds of thousands of workers, I'm sure the cost is extreme. And I was a student postman, and I can tell you, you know, there's some really nasty dogs out there, and I've still got 5 fingers on both hands, thank goodness, or 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, and that was due to luck rather than judgment. Yeah. I wish I had that application or even a mobile phone in those days. So last question, Steve. Top tips. What would you say to anyone starting off on the technology, the digital journey, the digital transformation journey? If you can steal some advice from your book, and having convinced everybody listening that they ought to buy the book, can you tell us how we can get hold of it before, or put a pre-order in before publication?
Yeah, so you can. I would advise you to go to the Kogan Page site, because at the moment there's a 20% discount, and there are two codes I can give you. you can use AHRDL20 or FHRDL20, and that will get you 20% off, which is a good saving, isn't it?
Very good saving. And pre postage and packing, I believe, as well, to give an additional plug for you.
That's true. That's on there as well. But I suppose the takeaway from the book, or the major takeaway, I think that for too long in L&D, what we've been doing is going down traditional routes. We've had a place where learning happens. We've had ideas which are always pushed upon people to, you know, this is the way it's happening. But I think if L&D professionals take it away from the place and take away from the space, if you like, of learning, and give it over to the individual to learn in their own place, space, and time, I think that is the way forward for L&D, and that can all be achieved through the new technologies that are emerging, and most of them are now available to all of us. So I think that would be my final, the final takeaway. Think differently. Don't think in the traditional way. Think unconventionally, and it'll probably be possible to do.
And what is the publication date, Steve?
April the 3rd.
Very soon. So April the 3rd, go to the www.koganpage.com website, put in Steve Wheeler, the book will come up. Put in the code. Tell us the code once more, Steve.
So you've got two codes. I'll give you the Kogan Page one, which is FHRDL20.
FHRDL20. And that will get you your 20% discount and free postage and packing. And you'll get it dispatched, I guess, on publication day.
Absolutely.
Great. Steve, thanks very much for chatting about it. I think it's an important book. I hope it's going to do very well, that people will find it enduringly useful. And setting, the big thing about it is it sets technology in context. It's not just about wacky new stuff. It's looking at a little bit about the history of technology in learning. And therefore, you kind of approach the future with a bit of the wisdom of the past. And that can't be a bad combination. So thank you. Thank you, Steve, for your time.
Well, thank
Martin,
you, Steve.
Wind us all up.
No, I don't want to wind anyone up. I just want to say I've been, I feel quite privileged to hear you two talk to each other. Some great questions there, Nigel. And really, I thought it just feels very accessible, Steve, the way you talk about all of that. There's nothing here to scare the horses.
Well, hopefully I write in the same accessible manner. Let's hope I do.
but it's, I think there's just a lot of talk about digital transformation and, everyone telling everyone else what they should and shouldn't do. Mm. And I just really like the way that you've talked about that in a way that, to me, it seems like it's achievable. People can go away and really think about that idea of space and time that's not in L&D. It's actually where are people and where can you put stuff for them. I just thank you for your time today. It's been really, really interesting.
Thank you, Steve. Forward to reading the book. My final word would be it's a bridge into the future, and we need bridges into the future. So yeah. Thank you for writing it, Steve. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. From scratch.